Power Game. Written by David Baldacci. Read by Scott Brick.
This novel is dedicated to Harry L. Carica, Jane Giles, and to the memory of Mary Rose Tatum, three of the finest people I have ever known. Chapter 1. The man in the rain slicker walked slightly bent over, his breathing labored and his body sweaty. The extra weight he was bearing, though not all that substantial, was awkwardly placed, and the terrain was uneven. It was never an easy thing to tote a dead body through the woods in the middle of the night. He shifted the corpse to his left shoulder and trudged on. The soles of his shoes bore no distinguishing marks. Not that it would have mattered, since the rain quickly washed away any traces of footprints. He'd checked the forecast. The rain was why he was here. The inclement weather was the best friend he could ask for. Aside from the dead body draped over his sturdy shoulder, the man was also remarkable for the black hood he wore, on which was stitched an esoteric symbol that ran down the length of the cloth. It was a circle with a crosshairs through its middle. Probably instantly recognizable to anyone over the age of 50, the logo once inspired a dread that had significantly eroded with time. It didn't matter that no one alive would see him wearing the hood. He took grim satisfaction in its lethal symbolism. Within 10 minutes, he reached the location he'd carefully selected on an earlier visit and laid the body down with a reverence that belied the violent manner in which the person had died. He took a deep breath and held it as he undid the telephone wire holding the bundle closed and unwrapped the plastic. She was young, with features that had been attractive 2 days prior. The woman was not much to look at now. The soft blonde hair fell away from the greenish-tinged skin, revealing closed eyes and bloated cheeks. Had the eyes been open, they might have still held the startled gaze of the deceased as she endured her own murder, an experience replicated roughly 30,000 times each year in America. He slid the plastic all the way free and laid the woman on her back. Then he let out his breath, fought the urge to retch caused by the stench of the body, and sucked in another lungful of air. Using one of his gloved hands and his light, he searched for and found the small forked branch that he'd earlier placed in the bramble nearby. He used this to support the woman's forearm, which he'd positioned such that it was pointing to the sky. The body's rigor mortis, though rapidly fading, had made the task difficult, but he was strong and had finally levered the stiffened limb to the correct angle. He took the watch out of his pocket, checked with his flashlight to make sure it was set properly, and placed it around the dead woman's wrist. Though far from a religious man, he knelt over the body and muttered a brief prayer, cupping his hand over his mouth and nose as he did so. "You weren't directly responsible, but you were all I had. You didn't die in vain. And I believe you're actually better off." Did he really believe what he had just said? Maybe not. Maybe it didn't matter. He looked at the dead woman's face, studying her features scrupulously as though a scientist observing a particularly fascinating experiment. He had never killed another person before. He'd made it quick and, he hoped, painless. In the dull, misty night, the woman seemed surrounded by a yellowish glow, as though she'd already become a spirit. He drew farther back and examined the area all around, checking for any extraneous items that might lead to evidence against him. He discovered only a piece of cloth from his hood that had caught on a bush near where the body lay. "Careless. You can't afford that." He placed it in his pocket. He spent several more minutes looking for other such items nearing microscopic size. In the world of criminal investigation, it was these forensic no-see-ums that did one in. A single drop of blood, semen, or saliva, a smudge of fingerprint, a hair follicle with a bit of DNA-littered root attached, and the police could be reading you your rights while prosecutors circled hungrily nearby. Unfortunately, even full awareness of that reality offered little protection. Every criminal, no matter how careful,